If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
All right, this is in the Chicago Tribune yesterday. In an historic move, the Oscars are raising the inclusion bar for Best Picture nominees, starting with the 96th Academy Awards. This is the one in 2024, gives the motion picture industry time to do what they say you need to do if you want to be considered for the Best Picture. To meet on-screen representation standard, a film must either have at least one lead character or a significant supporting character be from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group. At least 30% of secondary roles must be from two underrepresented groups. Or the main storyline, theme, or narrative must be focused on an underrepresented group. Otherwise, the way I understand it, if you're not including people who are underrepresented relative to gender, orientation, race, ethnicity, even disability, if you don't do that, then you can't be the Best Picture. Michael Phillips, film critic, joins us on WGN. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. How are you doing?
Really good. That's my understanding of it. Is that a right read on what they're going to do?
It is. Although it's damn complicated. But you know who really broke it down beautifully was Steve Zajcik, my old festival going pal, who writes in the Washington Post that it's complicated, but you got to get two of the four elements right: the film story, lead actor or ensemble have to prominently feature underrepresented groups, or those working behind the scenes, same thing, or the production includes paid internships and training for those who are underrepresented, or the movie's release team has to have multiple in-house senior executives from underrepresented groups. So it's complicated, but you only got to hit two of the four. And I think the telling point he makes is that out of the last 15 Best Picture Oscar winners, last 15 years, 73% of it would have been met the criteria, no problem. And I'm not just talking about Moonlight or Parasite, where you have, clearly, not the usual white wall of characters or treatment, but, just all kinds. So it's not really as I don't want to throw fuel on this fire, but it's not really the same. It's not the same kind of, affirmative action that a lot of the right is framing it as.
But you're also saying, so you see the glass as three quarters full, but you could also see it as one quarter empty. That is, one in four films that won the Best Picture have met this criteria.
Not easily, but if you just had hired, let's say you didn't even recast it or rethink anything that's on screen, right, in terms of the characters or the actors. If those productions had thought, all we have is a bunch of white grips, or we've never had a female, director of photography, or we've never had any composer of color, working at the, why not think twice about that? That's a less visible but equally important step,
right, I think. Right. I think people will judge this, though, maybe by what they see on the screen. And I'm thinking, okay, King's Speech won Best Picture. That was populated, as I recall, by white people. However, yep. That is about a disability, if you will. So maybe that satisfies the requirements. I could just see there being lobbying for some of these criteria, too.
Yep. The ones that would have run into the problem, according to this Washington Post rundown, is Argo, The Artist, No Country for Old Men, and The Departed would have had the toughest time, as was. But, with a little adjustment. I'm not the guy who's going to say this is an outrage. I'm just not that guy, at the same time, John, I know I'm a hypocrite because I'm one of a white wall of critics at the Chicago Tribune, so it's a sensitive topic, and this is all part of kind of what we're, what every person in this country is dealing with one way or the other, which is what is this country, what are we supposed to look like? How can we broaden the perspective of what we see and what we write and what we read?
I sure hadn't thought about this way. I'm a little surprised by this caveat, but I'm okay with it too, because I just go to a movie and I do or don't like the movie. It's not my world. It's not my job to fix, but it does feel very top down. It does feel very like a cram down from the corporate saying, here's how we're going to do it, and everybody, you're going to like it. And yet these are people who have artistic expressions. This is what you've told Da Vinci, not that Slumdog Millionaire was, Da Vinci, but would you have told them how to do their art? I suppose some of these artists could ignore it, too. They could say, well, fine, but I'm not going to be included then.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the gray area. Exactly right, John. And the gray area will be that if certain directors or producers or whoever are, putting these packages together that end up in a movie, if they say, to hell with this, I'm going to make it and staff it and produce it the way I want, with the colleagues I've worked with forever and whatever, then will that in fact say, will that lead to, a lot of films that might have gotten Oscar consideration not getting it? No way of saying right
now. Well, that's a stupid way to go about your business, though. I mean, think about all of the talent that you're not including if you were trying to limit your diversity. In fact, Michael, would you say that just by happenstance, most Hollywood productions are satisfying these requirements?
Well, I think based on the last 15 years of Oscar winners, I mean, three quarters of them are. And you don't even have to make that kind of, you don't have to change necessarily the literal or metaphoric complexion of the movie you're watching to satisfy most of these requirements. You just take one look around you and try to find a way to broaden, the representation of all kinds of folks working on the project in some way. I mean, I think the Oscars are doing this, John, because they've worked so hard on getting the voting membership, I don't know how many thousands, I forget, in the Academy, to not look like an entirely white wall of mostly men. And so, I think now is the time, they think. And I think I agree. Now is the time to kind of start looking at, okay, well, what are we voting on?
Oh, hello, absolutely. I understand that. But it also reminded me just a little bit, again, talk about a top-down edict, when they didn't, weren't they going to roll out some sort of People's Choice Awards for the Oscars, and then they backed off of that, too?
Yeah, but that was a stupid idea, Jim.
It really was, but you got the idea that they're struggling with their identity or the kinds of films that they honor. And maybe this is the time to be as, boy, this is a stupid sentence, I'll finish it. Maybe this is the time to be as inclusive as possible. It's always been the time to be as inclusive as possible. The question is, does this seem too heavy-handed, I guess, is the question.
Every Oscars, John, I hear from another wave of people, and all kinds of people, not the same voice, all kinds saying, look, Oscars are just not for me. It's a bunch of liberal piety. It's just a bunch of, nonsense. I don't like it. It's too politicized. It's too left. This is only going to triple that response.
Well, that's too bad. That's too bad because maybe some lessons are hard learned. I'm looking at the list of pictures that won Best Picture. Eliphas St. John, you're out of time. You're out of time. Okay, Michael Phillips, film critic, Chicago Tribune. Do you still write over there? Do we still read you over there, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know we do. I had a great interview with Carrie Coon. You should check out. I mean, she's just a great actress and one of Chicago's best, and it's just wonderful. They've got a good new film out. So check that out on chicagotribune.com/movies.
Boy, Michael, thanks for your time today.
You bet, John. Thank you.